B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Monday after a loss, which means we're going to get a lot of activity, a lot of opinions on the phone. And I'll give you my opinions straight out because I know there's a lot of people down. You react like right after the game. All right, they lost a game they could have won. I got it. I can't sit here and bury a team that was playing with so little bullets. I just can't. Now, why they were playing with so little bullets, you can look at it. Like, where did these injuries happen? Like, where's Goddard injure his calf in warm-ups? What happens to Jeffrey and Deshaun Jack? Like, all these injuries that happen for innocuous situations, it's a little disruptive in your brain, right? But it happens. So I can't kill the team. They were going to lose games. And if they didn't lose this game with the lack of personnel that they had, playing with guys that had no idea what they were doing offensively on the football field, then I'd be a little unfair. So you take this loss, it's a bite out of your rear end, and you move on. But let's analyze, because they actually could have won the game. The first half is strange to me in the coaching realm. Because in the first half, when you lose every bullet you have, or most of the bullets you have, you've got to be capable as a coach of going to a plan B. All right, your plan A clearly was you're going to use a lot of 12 personnel. Right? With two tight ends. One of your tight ends goes down, the other guy's not a blocker. So, like, you can't do the same things. All right? You can't. The game plan then has to change. They've got 14 coaches on offense. Somewhere along the line, they've got to discuss through the headphones, hey, let's change it up. We don't have the same guys. The patterns we're going to run for Alshon, we can't do now J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. We can't do it. We can't get Goddard to block and have Ertz sprung in the middle of the field. Like, there's certain things you can't do at that point. So what you got to do is you got to go power. You got to establish your running game against an overly aggressive defensive front. Guys that are moving all over the place. You can trap them. You can run power. You can put in an extra tackle in that tight end position. There's a lot of things you can do to establish a different game plan. And they didn't. And they had a quarterback who was not sharp, who got banged around in the first half, which is more the reason why you should try to make it easier on them. I don't know why it's that hard to coach on the fly, but it seems to be occasionally for Doug Peterson. Now, he's a guy that won a Super Bowl, so I can't sit here and bury him either today. It was a loss because they didn't have the proper personnel to outscore another team that was going to give you the football game. That quarterback is going to the Hall of Fame, right? He stinks. I used to love Matt Ryan. And now he almost gift-wrapped that game for the Eagles. Three interceptions and four possessions in the second half. One of the dumbest throws I've ever seen a veteran make when the one Gary intercepts in the end zone. Like, what are you thinking about? Or was it, that wasn't Gary. That was it Gary? All right. So I'm going, this guy wants to give you the game. And you got a chance to win the game. If the Michael Franco of the Eagles makes a play. And to me, that's Nelson Aguilar. Reliability is what you don't have with that guy. Reliability is what you don't have with Michael Franco. They're the same people. You can't rely on him to make a play for you. We've seen it time and time again. Yeah, he comes back and makes a catch. It delivers a first down, a 43-yarder or whatever that was. But a game-breaking play, he does that. He's got the cross arms. And he goes, I lost it in the lights. Dude, come on, brother. Come on, man. Just own it. Like, that's the play that breaks their back. All right? So in the end, you got a loss for the Eagles. You look at the Ertz play. I mean, the obvious thing, and he was upset and emotional after the game, and the obvious thing is to say he didn't run the route deep enough. Sometimes the defender won't let you run the route deep enough and you take what you can get. Where I come off on Ertz is he's a tight end who supposedly is stronger than that guy that's bringing him down. I don't understand after the catch why you can't be strong enough to wiggle a yard out of it. That's what I looked at. I mean, forget about the pattern. I mean, you're a tight end. Beast the guy for a yard to get the first down. That's what I was looking at with that. And in the end, listen, you got some personnel on their team that are not ready. Miles Sanders is not ready. He's clearly a college running back trying to run in the NFL. He tries to break everything outside, which is what a college back will do, because you can get to the outside in college, and you can turn it into a big game. But you're no longer Happy Valley, bro. It's a different game. Arthega Whiteside, not ready. So they had a bunch of guys out there they were relying on that weren't ready for prime time, and that's the way it comes out. So what do they do from here now? Because now you got some injuries you got to worry about. Jernigan's going to be out. Are these guys going to be available next week? The Lions are a bop on your schedule. Are you going to have Jeffrey next week? Are you going to have Goddard? Are you going to have Deshaun? Because if you don't, the Lions may come in here and beat you. That's where I'm worried now. Tyrone, you saw the game.
Yeah.
I can't get carried away ripping this team knowing they were playing with a chamber that was missing a lot of bullets.
Yes, I agree with your premise. I'm confused by the coach a little bit in that last week they had a third tight end on the roster. They decide between week one and week two to cut the third tight end and put him back on the practice squad. Yet you practiced all week to do 12 personnel. Doesn't it then make sense to have a third tight end? Because injuries do happen in a game, even if it wasn't necessary injury that was going to take you out for a game. It could take you out. Plus, Ertz ended up having to play 100% of the snaps, he says, for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
Perhaps part of the reason why he couldn't get that yard at the end is because he's dead tired. You have to have a third tight end, coach. If you're going to do a lot of 12 personnel, you got to have a third tight end.
Yeah, you do. It's not thinking clearly if you're going to use 12 personnel that you have to, if one guy gets hurt, so that's faulty thinking.
But still,
it's like, you know, I don't understand. This guy sometimes has a problem thinking on his feet.
Yeah.
I can't like deny the results he's had as a head coach. But when plan A is shot to hell, and it was, well, then you got to go to plan B. And plan B is to take advantage of some power, take advantage of your offensive linemen, let them road grade a little bit, commit to a run. Get him in trap situations, motion one way, come back the other. You got to be creative here to get the ball down the field. In the first half, they weren't. Now, Wentz was unbelievable in the second half. And I was looking at the same tweets. Oh, Wentz, blah, blah, blah. He's made of glass. Blah, blah. Well, in the first half, maybe those hits were taking a toll. But the kid came back with courage. And you can't argue with that drive that he fostered and that tremendous play that he gets enough on the ball to complete it downfield after he's going down. He wriggled out of about 3 sacks yesterday. And I actually thought Schwartz called a good game because he was ultra aggressive against a team where he had to be aggressive. And he got Ryan's face and Ryan was throwing the ball up like, I swear to God, if you had a rifle, you could shoot it. He's just throwing the ball in the air hoping a guy will make a play for him. And that's because of what Schwartz did. So we'll talk all about it. And I guess I got to mix in a little Phillies because they're now 4.5 and they're officially dead. There's no way that they can possibly get back in this race. And yesterday, Bryce Harper gets thrown out of the game and then Gabe gets thrown out of the game. And so here's what I'll tell you about that, because a lot of people are saying, doesn't Bryce Harper have a responsibility not to get thrown out? Yeah, he does. But that umpire is a frickin' weasel. That guy who threw him out. I hate umpires with a passion, having played a little baseball. This guy, handled it like he was Mr. Macho. That guy should be suspended. In a game with that kind of magnitude, you can't willy-nilly throw out a team's best player in the fourth inning because you got the red ass and he's yelling at you in the dugout. The game means something to these players. So you go over and a prudent umpire says, hey, Gabe, listen. Hey, Bryce, listen, I'm hearing you. And I'm going to give you a little rope here, but you got to calm down because I'm going to throw you if you keep it up. Instead of giving him the thumb right away. That was a cheesy-ass weasel move by that guy. And Major League Baseball ought to look at that, but they won't. I hate guys. I hate umpires that think that people care about what they do.
You're so right. And that's why they're doing it in the minors. They're doing it in independent. I think robot umpires is the answer. Eventually moving towards robot umpires, what if they were only one game out? You can't let a guy like that affect the playoff freaks
you
like
gotta,
that.
You got to look at it. You're a human being, for crying out loud. You don't have enough sense to dilute a situation as an umpire in the fourth inning. Come on, man. 610-632-0975. That being said, we can stop talking about baseball for the rest of the year.
Yes.
And I'm good with that. Right, Nat?
It's over.
All right. Nat was up late last night.
I was.
The Eagles outsider. What time did you get home, Nat?
3?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You're running on, short batteries.
I'm running on coffee.
You got coffee?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. The Mike Mussinelli Show, 610-622-0975. Your call's next. What did you see in this game? What are you going to see in the future? Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's a 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're giving away, hopefully, some money today, $1,000. Yeah, it started up again. It is the Big Green Giveaway. 5K a day we give away. We'll tell you a little bit about that. Ron Jaworski will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Brian Westbrook in 4 o'clock hour for their spins on this game. The 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Miss Show. It's brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero turn or walk behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an edge replacement in stock. Visit PaulBMoyer.com for details. Natalie Agonoff.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 300 votes on this one early today. Who are you most angry at after the loss? 28% say Aguilar, 12% say Darby, 17% going Seumalo, and 43% are blaming the injuries.
All right. Those gentlemen did not have a good game. Ronald Darby did not have a good game. Seumalo did not have a good game. So if you're into the blame game, those guys are targets. No question about it.
Yeah, because if any one of those guys plays well, then you still win the game, even if you weren't supposed to. You steal a game, especially Darby in particular, or if Aguilar just catches that pass and you steal one, still just counts as a W, even if you didn't deserve it. So the injuries were clearly key, but it would have been nice.
No question about it. Now, let's look at the play that actually beat them. That was the Julio Jones play. And it was executed perfectly because Matthews just buried Maddox on that play.
Yeah.
But Matt Ryan changed that play, and you had like 5 seconds to react to his change. And I know Schwartz was good all game being aggressive, but you knew something was up there because he's going like this.
Yep.
And like 5 seconds go by. There's got to be like a guy like Dawkins would have figured something there. A guy like Jenkins should figure something is up. maybe change the defense a little bit, or whoever's calling signals, there was something going to be up on that play with Julio Jones.
There was an incomplete pass on third down, so the clock had stopped. The Eagles were in the lead at that point.
Mm-hmm.
On the green zone, I was saying, as that happening, call timeout on the defense. Call timeout. Mm-hmm. Because I understand you don't have one if they score, but at that point, that fourth down plays the game. If you stop them there, you win. So I was yelling out on the air, timeout, 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 just because I was seeing what you were seeing. Get them timeout. You see what they're doing. Yeah. Make them have to think about it. Get my defense lined
Ryan
up.
Ryan saw something, and you knew it was going to involve Julio Jones.
So timeout.
I hear you.
Get your defense ready. Yeah, so I thought both Schwartz and the head coach there and Jenkins or somebody call timeout and get a stop here.
Yeah, they had time to react to not play that kind of defense in that play.
Right.
All right. Let's get to the phones. Let's talk to people. A-Rod and Willow Grove, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. A-Rod.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, A-Rod?
Hey, I want to tell you, I want to say two things. I want to say, one, why I love this game, and two, what my favorite player of the game was, all right?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, I love this game because of everything that he showed. In the first half, he's so short, if you play off the receiver, you're going to get burned. The second half, he showed him, if you mix in some pressure, you're going to get picks, right? Last year, we had like three picks the whole year. Last night, we had three picks the second half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he showed that Wentz got that clutch gene in him, right? Because homeboy, like, we're wondering why, like, if he had the clutch gene, now we know that he got it. Need a go ahead, score in the fourth quarter. I'll give you that. Okay, and then we're down again. I might give you another one if I have Alshon Jeffery in the red zone back there, right? Right? Now I want to tell you what my favorite play of the game was, and you guys were just talking about it. It's that 4th-and-3 play when Schwartz did an all-out blitz, right? It's my favorite play because the Eagles, we have a win-win situation there. It's either A, we stop in 4th-and-3 and the game is over, or B, they get a long touchdown, which they did, and gives us 2+ minutes to come back down the field and get another score. You know the Falcons are going to try to take every second out of there, right? And leave the Eagles with no time to score. So a quick touchdown, a quick score will give us plenty of time to win the game for us. We had 2 minutes.
I have no idea what your rationale here. You're saying it was good that Atlanta scored that touchdown because that gave the Eagles time to score again?
How many times have you seen the Falcons go down the field and leave no time for the...
Bro, hold on 1 second. You saw the quarterback change the play, right?
Yeah.
You knew something was up. How could you say that was a good blitz? There were plenty of good blitzes during the game. That wasn't one of them.
But he did the same blitz over and over and over. It was all out blitz.
Well, but what I'm saying is the quarterback saw something was up, and as a veteran quarterback, he changed the play. So you got to rechange your defense.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike. What do you think Matt Ryan was doing there? Whistling Dixie? What was he doing? He was changing the play. Went like this. It took 5 seconds. That's not a good blitz there. Maybe before Matt Ryan changes the play, you had it scoped out. He changed the play. Come on, man. Let's go to Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cash.
Hey, Mike. Mike, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
I'm all right. Listen, I watched the game, and there's three things I seen watching the game. Everybody say Carson Wentz is this tough, tough warrior. Okay, granted, he did play tough. But some of those shots that he took was unnecessary shots. And I'm going to tell you like this. If he continue to take shots like that, Mike, he won't last the season. You might as well count and pencil McCown in right now. Because he continue to take shots like that, he won't last the season. And I still have not seen him be able to take us down the field to win a football game. Now, I'm not blaming him, but I still have not seen that, you know, and be able to win a football
game. Well, you're obviously blaming him. Of course you're blaming him.
Well, Mike, listen, those shots he took was unnecessary.
No, I get it. You want him to get rid of the ball quicker. I get that. He hung in there trying to make a play, and he got that rib shot. That was a dangerous shot, and I still think he hurt his ribs there, and that influenced the way he played the rest of that half.
Well, Mike, listen, and another thing here, okay? Jim Schwartz, he did what he had to do. He didn't call a good game because we can't get home with the front four, Mike. We cannot get. We have bigger trouble here. Okay, we're going.
He got three interceptions on the quarterback because of that blitz.
We cannot get home with the front.
Yeah,
four,
I get
Mike.
It. But it was okay in that game that he sent the blitz. The blitz was effective.
But he does not disguise them.
Except for Darby, and that
he doesn't disguise his blitzes, Mike. He sends the same blitz, and that's the all-out blitz, and you send it to a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan, going to pick it up every time.
Yeah, here's the thing. He played good enough defense for the Eagles to win a game they had no business winning. That's the bottom line. Because he got three interceptions out of their quarterback. Come on, man.
Right. That's because Matt Ryan's a moron, okay? If you go against somebody like Aaron Rodgers in a couple weeks, he's going to
I don't know. You're taking a game at a time. But what he thought was necessary last night was to be overly aggressive. And for the most part, it worked.
Mike, we're in trouble. We cannot get home with the front four. This is why you don't let Chris Long go. This is why you go after Jadeveon Clowney. We are in trouble. We cannot get home with the front four. Fletcher Cox has hurt. Something is wrong. I'm telling you, we are in trouble going forth, man. And Jim Schwartz is going to have to continue to blitz in order for us to get pressure on these
players. All right, well, we'll see. Listen, I can't discount the fact they're not getting there with their front four. You know, Chris Collinsworth was all over praising Barnett last night. I'm going, really? All right, well, I guess. So you're seeing something I'm not seeing. Yeah, he gives Max energy. I get it. That's not enough. Max energy's got to turn into sacks, bro. You got to get sacks from your ends. They're not getting sacks from their ends. Although Brandon Graham had some moments.
Yeah, and I don't know. He's talking about Fletcher Cox was all over the field.
Yeah, he was.
He lost another guy during that game again. So he's seeing tons of double teams because now Jernigan goes down in the middle of the game.
That is a problem going forward, though.
For sure.
Yeah, because now their tackle situation is not good.
So you know what I probably do now? I'm calling Chris Long or I'm calling. I got to get a veteran in, and I got to pay Curry now more inside. I don't have a choice. He's done it before. Yeah. That's my next option. So I got to find another in. And there was a couple plays where Josh Sweat actually looked passable.
Yeah, he did. He made two consecutive plays. Yeah. One on a tackle, and one he got pressure.
Yeah, what I'm saying, he's flashing a little bit. So now you have him flashing. Get a veteran guy, maybe Connor Barwin. He says he still wants to play. He knows this system. Mm-hmm. Get him back, and now I got to pay Curry inside because Jernigan will be back in a month. Thankfully, it wasn't a worse injury like another Liz Frank or something where he'd be out for the season. Yeah. You can weather the storm for a few weeks till he's back.
Their Penn State draft picks are not paying dividends just yet.
No, one doesn't dress.
One, and the other thinks he's still Happy Valley. Although, congratulations to the Nittany Lions for a big victory over Pitt. Let's do the college football moment. Can we do the college football moment now? Cherry and White.
Yes.
Pemple with a big victory over Maryland. I was wrong, you Temple fans.
C for Temple U.
There you go.
University.
Awesome.
Fight, fight, fight for the Cherry and the White. For the Cherry
big
and
win.
The White.
In a matchup of wannabe football programs, Temple comes out on top.
See, you can't even give credit where credit's due.
That's a good win. Good win.
A solid
win. They came behind. They came back.
Their defense was on point.
It's a great win. One wannabe beat another wannabe.
See? That's disrespect, see?
And
you know, sure. I think there needs to be a 101 after how close that game was. There should be matchup 101.
What?
Between Pitt and Penn State.
Nah, man. See, listen, I know people are like, well, you said that Pitt had no shot to win. Did they win? What did I say? Did I lie?
You said
they didn't have a shot to win. They weren't going to win the game.
No, that coach who has been good.
The difference
was
between a good program and a wannabe program is what happened at the 1 yard line in that game. But I don't want to bore people. We'll talk about it later. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
You know, Mike, I want to make 3 points. And what's funny is when we spoke on Friday, you thought we'd lose on a kick at the end to be heartbroken that way.
Yes.
I had said to you on Friday, I didn't trust the defense to make a play to win it for us. Mm-hmm. I'd rather the offense with the ball, you know, going down. And, you know, if Aguilar holds on to that ball, chances are, even with a minute to go on the clock, we're probably going to hold on and basically steal a game we had no business winning. But it's three quick points. Mm-hmm. I'm with you in the first half when all these guys are going out with injuries and Carson's basically looking around and has no idea who's coming, who's going. Isn't that the time, instead of running 41 throwing plays and 19 runs for the game, isn't that time to be a little bit more balanced? Where is a guy like Jordan Howard? Here it is. Last week I said to you, I liked his burst. You know, he looked like he had the fresh legs week one. Where was Jordan Howard in his first half as Carson was trying to adapt to his wide receivers coming and going, not even knowing who was playing there? So I had no understanding why Peterson called the first half the way he did.
I totally agree with you. And here's another thing I'll add. Their kicker was hurt. Matt Bryant's kicking the ball to the 10-yard line the whole time. They're starting every possession at the 30-plus. You got better field position to run the football there.
Absolutely. Two other quick points. Number two, I don't know what to do with this secondary anymore. And I mean the corners, whether it's Douglas, Darby, you know, Maddox. I mean, none of these guys can cover. So now the question is, if you're Jim Schwartz, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to blitz and continue to call the game the way you did yesterday? Or are you going to figure out how to back off on a 4th and 3, which you probably should have done on the game-winning touchdown yesterday? I mean, this defense now with Jernigan going out and Jackson being out, with, you know, Fletcher Cox having to play with Spence and Ridgeway now, I'm with Ty. They got to bring in another defensive lineman, move Curry to the middle, get, you know, whether it's Connor Baldwin, you know, Chris Long, somebody, because this secondary.
Well,
is not
here's the thing: you're not gonna play against Ridley, Julio Jones, and Hooper every game. Also, so
no,
you know what I'm saying?
No, that's a good point. And point number three before I go, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got these injuries. Listen, we got 2 games in 10 days. You don't know who's gonna be back next week. Chances are, I'm assuming if these guys miss next week, they're probably not gonna rush them back to the Packer game, and that's a game right now, Mike. That, you know, I don't see them winning with the roster that they took the field with last night. My overall concern is that if you look at Dallas right now, they got the Dolphins coming up in New Orleans with no Drew Brees. They got a game against the Jets. I mean, I do not want to get too far behind Dallas and have to spot them a lead, because I'll tell you one thing. We had 5 of 7 on the road starting with last night. We're going to have to win some games along the way.
Yeah, I get you. The Packers game is going to be tougher than the win. My focus is on if they're going to play the Lions at home with a skeleton crew, whether they're in danger of losing that game. Now, I would think not, but before you get to the Packers, they're in a wounded situation right now. I'm worried about that game. A little bit. What's the line? The line had to be. It's out, right?
Yes.
What's
the line? 7.
Nah, well, I'm not worried about it.
Eagles 7-point favorites in the game.
All right.
Deshaun was at the facility today, and according to Tim McManus, our own Tim McManus, he actually expects to play. They were extra cautious. Mm-hmm. What they didn't want to do is have a groin pop or a calf pop in the game this early in the season.
Yeah.
So, and Alshon especially wanted to play, and they didn't let. They took his helmet from him. They hid his helmet. Kind of like concussion style to keep him from going out there, so both of those guys could be back and then play against Green Bay as well.
But when did these things happen? When did it happen?
Apparently, there was some discomfort going into the week, and then they thought it would loosen up, and it just didn't.
Okay. Now, let me just add one other thing. You know, last week we cautioned that Darren Sproles touched the ball too many times.
Yep.
They didn't use him at all. Probably because he didn't have anything left after touching the ball 20 times. That's an underplayed storyline in this game. He was invisible in this game.
And you would think that under the circumstances, if you would adjust to using him, because he can beat a linebacker. He can do some shifty things, but he probably didn't feel good, like you said.
That's a part of coaching.
Yep.
You got to figure out that if you overuse a guy, it's just like baseball. You can say Jay Bruce out there every game at age 35, something's going to happen. You're not going to be able to use him effectively. So you got to manage that. That's a part of coaching. It was all well and good when he was productive last week, touching the ball 20 times. But what was the reciprocal value of that? Couldn't use him against Atlanta. And then when you did use him, he misses a ball in the middle of the field because he probably was like thinking about not feeling well.
That was a big one, too, during that last drive. Yeah.
Steve and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike, long time.
What's up, Steve?
Show, you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
You know what? I just want to see if you have any concern about, I mean, for the last year and a half, and yesterday, we win the coin toss and we defer. Does that concern you? And if it concerns you, Why isn't it ever brought up at like the post game?
No, it doesn't concern me at all. Everybody does that. Everybody defers. It's a different day and age. They'd rather have the ball to start the second half.
But to me, Schwartz, he's a little slow on grasping what's happening. And I've seen teams over the last, year where they have the ball sometimes 6-7 minutes.
Yeah, but what was wrong with Schwartz's game plan yesterday?
Well, it wasn't, but I think his game plan was out of character. He blitzed more times yesterday.
Who cares if it's out of character? If it's effective, he's doing a good job. What does that have to do with deferring?
No, because I haven't seen him hold a team on, like, the first drive to less than a field goal. I mean, we rarely hold them to no points. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, listen, I can tell you that most people will defer.
Okay.
Most coaches think it's better to get the ball in the second half. Now, I don't know. Would it have been better for the Eagles to get the ball in the first half when they had all these injuries? they've got a guy who bails out on them because of warm-ups in Goddard. It was the whole game plan was to go 12 personnel. Why would you take the ball at that point?
Yeah. What magnified it was we fumbled, on the kickoff to start the third quarter. So
yeah, the Corey Clement was a disastrous situation, that play. And then he gets hurt on the play, and he's, that wasn't good.
It kills you because...
Yeah, that was a killer because they scored a touchdown off of that.
You feel lucky being down, and now you can take the lead second half, and then he immediately fumbles and spots them a touchdown immediately. And that they start at their own 30. I mean, at your 30, come on.
I'm watching this game with Matt Ryan. I'm going, he overthrew two guys early, right? Yep. Two guys in field. Yep. And three interceptions. He's just throwing the ball like aimlessly. And I'm going, is this the Matt Ryan I remember?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, what that line was really good early in his career.
Uh-huh.
And what they found is, unlike Carson Wentz, whether he's too brave or not, when he moves his feet, he's still dangerous. Matt Ryan, once you get his feet moving, he is useless. He just throws it up. He's just useless.
I mean, that throw in the end zone is like
And Graham got good pressure on that one. Graham got good pressure, and then he throws back foot and just throws it to Gary.
Throw the ball like in
middle of the field
traffic like that.
Yes,
I'm like stunned by that. All right, Jay in Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay,
hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Jay?
Man, I'm listening to the callers and. I don't want to take, food out your mouth, but I don't think we should be able to even process this game until Wednesday. I don't think we should even allow calls to Wednesday so people can, start making more sense, because all this nitpicking, it's just like a lot of nitpicking that's going on. I'm like, listen, under the circumstances that we had, all those guys went down. Our main guys all went down.
Mm-hmm.
I know Aguilar dropped that ball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we went and got Deshaun Jackson, and, a guy that's not going to drop that kind of ball. So,
Yeah, but you can't discount that either. That's a veteran player out there.
You know what, Mike? And it's like, when he said he lost it in the lights, hey, listen, Alshon dropped a crucial one last year. Mm-hmm. He could have gotten us, further in the playoffs. So I don't want our team to lose confidence, man. I don't want our receivers. So I heard you earlier saying, maybe Doug should change some things, but I think, you say the same, to get the confidence out of these young wide receivers to see what they can do.
You do that in preseason. Yeah, you don't think you got to win a game.
I know, and that's the thing, Mike. I know we want to win, but from a coaching standpoint, if I'm a coach, I know this guy's hungry. He wants to play, this white side kid, and I know Aguilar was pissed about dropping that ball, but don't, start running the ball just because. I mean, we were in that game the whole time. There was no reason to panic. I usually sit up and watch the game. I was so comfortable with that game, I laid back and watched it.
Well, listen, you and I have different view on that. When you have a game plan designed around 12 personnel, you're thinking that all your weapons are going to be on the field. None of them are on the field. At that point, you got to change it up. They gave away a first half.
And I understand your perspective, Mike. And it's just that, if I got wide receivers out there, I don't want them to think, okay, well, every time somebody goes down, they're going to start running the ball.
I don't care about their feelings. What do I care about J.J. Arcega-White saying, kid, when you're ready to play, we'll use you. I'm not in the business of growing you in a regular season game on the road. 610-632-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
46, Mike Missinelli Show. The day after an Eagles loss, so the reaction is plentiful. And everybody has their own spin on what happened. Again, it's the whole qualifier for this game is that I can't get down on a team that lost in Atlanta in that city. I feared this game anyway. And when these guys started dropping, it's like your whole offense has been taken away from you. Now, you can blame the coach for not being adaptable to that, but at the end of the game, I can't be upset that they lost this game. That's the way I look at it.
No, you're right. In real time, you're upset, but then when you look at it, and they weren't able to prepare for it. It's not like they were able to give even Whiteside a week of practice to say, hey, you know you're going to start.
Right.
Here's your play package. They just threw them in.
The problem is that it was winnable because the other team made it winnable. And he didn't take advantage in several instances. And the two most glaring instances is the Aguilar play and Ertz not getting that first down there. But, you know, that kind of happens. All right, let's go to Tom in Deptford. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mikey Miss, what's going on?
What's up, Tom?
Mike, I've watched 3 years now this defensive backcourt. This guy, Corey Utman, what has he done to get these guys any better? Listen, Mike, here's another thing, too. Your safety, he was getting turned around, faked out, faked back, faked in, faked out. He was nowhere what helped.
Are you talking about Zendejo?
McLeod had no.
Oh, McLeod.
McLeod was.
I thought Zendejo was on the field much too long, first of all. I don't understand that.
Why not? Because he had to do something, because McLeod was on a cloud.
Yeah, but McLeod's a better player than Zendejo. I don't know why. McLeod must still be hurt.
He's got to be, Mike. He was getting faked out. He couldn't catch up to my grandmother. That's how big he was. It's on Mike. But listen, how do you let a guy continuously four times get behind you? Okay, and you getting constantly turned around. At some point, you got to say the guy's got to be pulled from the game. I don't care what it is. If he catches two more of that passes, it's a blowout.
You talking about Darby?
Darby.
Yeah. I listened to Seth Joyner in the postgame show on NBC Sports Philly, and Seth was saying that he coached in Buffalo, all right? And he said that Darby is a guy better at the line, that when you back him off, he doesn't have anticipation on where a guy's going. He lets a guy get by.
He doesn't have catch-up speed.
Oh, he has catch-up speed. But when a guy zigzags on him, he's so far away that the catch-up speed's not effective.
Well, okay, Mike, isn't that part of coaching then? Now you coach him up to say, hey, where's his strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't have him on the line. They had Rasul Douglas on the line a lot in that game.
But my thing, it's year in and year out. They make no adjustments with them guys. Utman's got to go. I'm sorry, Mike. I've heard enough. It's his responsibility because you definitely have the talent there.
You're talking about Corey Unland, the secondary guy.
He's got to go. That guy's got to go.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Chase Utley there for a second.
No, it's
Corey Unland. Okay, all right. Yeah.
And Mike, here's another thing too. Do we have another McNabb in our quarterback? Here's why I'm saying to is, I see a guy in the first half can't throw a 10-yard out. He can't throw a 10-yard out, but then he throws a straight down the field.
He can't throw a 10-yard out because guys aren't his receivers aren't. It's the timing of receivers on an out is very important. And so when you're throwing in Ortega and you're running those kind of plays, what do you expect?
But Mike, Aguilar was wide open and he couldn't get it to him. He threw it up high to him for a first half.
Yeah, he didn't have a great first half. I think he was skinny. He got banged around a couple times. He had to go into the tent. The whole bit. He was discombobulated.
Excuses, Mike.
No. Listen, with the way he played in the second half, did you have a problem with that?
But, Mike, you win games in the first half, too, Mike.
I get you. It wasn't satisfactory in the first half the way he played. No question.
He called during the green zone that Tom from Defer did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, saying that in the second half, Carson has to show me something or I'm done with him.
Well, he did show you something.
Clearly not. He's calling it a day, still angry at him.
Well, he didn't like Carson. There are a lot of people on Twitter that are broiling Carson. They can't wait to broil Carson.
And that's weird to me.
It is weird.
It's weird to me, especially because the way he battled and stuck his like you said, he lost a lot of bullets out of that chamber.
Yeah.
He's in there with a pop gun.
Yeah, they didn't make it easier for him to succeed in the first half with the play calling, which is why I would expect that they would have had more of a plan B. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes Doug can be a numbskull. Now, he's been an accomplished coach. Sometimes I get, football brain out of the guy.
Yeah, there's some of that.
All right, let's go to Don in Lancaster. Don, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Don.
Hi, Michael. I was watching the game as, I hear Carson wants all the credit in the world. The guy just took a beating last night. I mean, how much can you ask for the guy?
Well, you can ask a little more in the first half.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I know Corey Clement fumbled the ball. Them guys are trying to poke the ball. You got to hold on to the ball. You have to give your team a chance to win.
I get it. What was that foolish throw the interception is where he's on the seat of his pants and the interception? Where was that throw going?
Yeah, I understand. He didn't put it down.
He had two terrible interceptions in the first half.
The guy has so much courage, man. So you got to give that kid credit, man. I don't care. He's not going to be around like the way they can't protect him. I can tell you that much right now.
No, I get it. I'm convoluted about my evaluation of Wentz yesterday because I admired his courage in the second half. First half, it wasn't even like he was there. He was just not tuned with the game.
I understand that. I mean, he did have a bit, but, the guy, there's no way, Mike, why any quarterback can take that kind of pounder. There's just no way.
All right, I got you. Sometimes the quarterback's stretched out when he's making a throw and he gets into ribs. That happens.
Yeah, all the quarterbacks around the league get hurt.
Yeah, they get hit in the ribs like that, too. You're trying to make a throw, and you're extended. That's the worst time you can get hit, too. When you're extended, your rib cage is maybe, and that's where you wear that flak jacket. It must have got, underneath there. Yeah. Got the lower part of the rib.
Oh, on the sit-down interception, apparently the receiver was supposed to work his way back to the ball and went further away from the ball, and he was thrown to a spot. And he thought, now maybe you don't throw it there with an inexperienced receiver.
That's the point. The inexperienced receivers, you're trying to execute the same game plan with inexperienced receivers.
Right, because apparently when he rolls to the right like that, it's supposed to be a comeback. And then if he's in the pocket, it's supposed to be a go.
Yeah.
And he didn't work his way back.
But here's the thing. You got an offensive coordinator who's not calling plays. Doug's calling the plays. The offensive coordinator's in Doug's ear. Coach Whiteside doesn't know where he's going. We got to change it up. He didn't know where he was going.
Well, Reich, I think, and DeFilippo were better than Groh at that, I think, so far.
Well, unless Doug ignored him, because anybody could see he's, running all over the place without rhyme or reason. Coach, Whiteside's overmatched. Let's go away from him. All right. Let me get my chart here. Let's go with these set of plays. Is that hard? 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.